Last week on Jack Unmasked.
Do you know how you know that somebody's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan or a firefighter? Do you know what they have in common?
No.
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Who was the toughest guy you ever saw in the NHL? John Ferguson. He was the toughest, the meanest, and all of a sudden, boom, he just ran right over me. Never slowed down, never said, and you know what? He never said he's sorry. Welcome to the league, kid.
I give Cam a tap on the glove.
And then looked at you, I thought, if looks could kill, you were dead.
He gave me the sea bass look. I looked at you and I said, I'm never making the NHL.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Duluth. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack.
Okay, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast. Jack, how are things going today?
Good, very good.
That's awesome. You know, I got a couple corrections I got to make. Last week, I said the Drake Canucks won Provincial Senior C, and apparently they didn't. I thought they did. I'm going to have to blame producer Josh on that information.
Yeah, he's a good guy to blame.
Apparently, Theodore actually won Senior C. I had a few calls on that. Of course, it takes a week to correct here, so sorry about that to those guys, but I guess congrats to Theodore. And then I had a buddy, you know, Trevor Sherman?
Yeah.
Trevor texted me, he says, hey, what about the Bantam A's from Battle for Barons? They actually won Provincials this year for, I think that was their first time. So I guess a shout out to them. What do you think of that?
There you go. Good.
Pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
So this comes out on May the 4th. Do you know whose birthday it is today?
Me? No, I have no idea. It's not mine. That's all
not
I know.
Yours? No. Freddie Stanfield's.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right? How do you know that?
I looked it up.
Oh.
I was kind of curious whose birthday it was this week, and Freddie Stanfield's pops up, which is pretty interesting.
Maybe I should phone him and wish him happy birthday.
You should, actually. That'd be pretty funny, actually. He would totally not even expect it. It's on Friday, so you should phone him and say, hey.
Who's this?
Yeah.
We were what? Traded against each other? I don't remember that.
Maybe you can give him one of your autographed pictures.
Yeah, he'd like that.
Being that he's in it and a part of it, so that's pretty funny.
So today's story is not a typical Jack Unmasked hockey story. For months, Jack has been asking me to do the story from 1974-75. While Jack was on the road, he gets the call from his wife, my mom, Deanna, that his daughter, Paula, who was 3 at the time, has been severely burned. And although this is not a typical hockey story that we've done in the past, he's been wanting to and been asking me multiple times when we could do it. And although, Paula, if you're listening, you were not a hockey player, you were as tough as one. Let's pick the story up from there.
So today we're going to talk about, I believe it was 19... Was it your... What year was it in Phoenix? Your first or second year there?
I think it was my first year there.
So it would have been 1974-75. Yeah. You were in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
And the story is basically what happens when family tragedy hits home with a professional hockey player. Why don't you take over, tell what happened, and the whole story from there.
We're in Phoenix playing, and we're heading on a road trip. We're heading actually to Detroit. So the day before this happened, so we flew to Detroit to play and played that night. And then next morning, I get up, and we're in the hotel just getting ready to go to the airport to fly over to Vancouver and get a phone call from my wife, Deanna. She said, we've had a little tragedy here. She says, we had a fire in the house last night and Paula got burnt. And I said, oh, that's too bad.
That's not good.
She said, well, how is everything okay? Do you want me to come home? Or, because Sandy Huckle said to me, he says, if anything's wrong, he says, you can go home. He says, I'll get somebody in to replace you. He said, don't worry about anything. If just let me know. I said, okay. So anyway, I talked to Deanna. She said, well, things aren't bad right now. She says, go over to Vancouver with the team and then call me when you get there. So I did. I flew over to Vancouver and phoned her when I got there and said, how are things? And she says, not very good. She said, it's taken to the worst. She got burnt worse than I'd thought, and she's in a hospital with a burn unit. I said, well, do you want me to come? Or she says, well, you decide. So I said, we go to Edmonton from Vancouver, and then I like to play against Edmonton, and then I can fly home after that game. She said, okay, you do that. Her mom and dad were down there, and my mom and dad were also there. So it's a good thing, because the house would have burnt down if they hadn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on to Edmonton the next day and played the next night in Edmonton. So I went back next day to Phoenix and got there and went and seen my daughter in the hospital. And you probably recall, I can't remember what degree she had was.
She was third degree.
Third degree, yeah. And she had burns all over her legs. So it was 30% of her body was burnt.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and third degree is the worst.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I don't think they thought it was that bad, did they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So she had to have operations for her behind her knees and about three or four operations, and then she had to go back in later on. But she was in the hospital for 9 weeks with all that, and she wore these big socks, and so it was very hard to see all that, and just a little kid. And the way it all happened was she got up on top of the stove and she wanted to get some cereal or something up in the cupboard. And she was standing on top of the stove and she pushed the buttons at the buttons are at the back of the stove, and she pushed the buttons in.
Accidentally, yeah.
And started it up, and her cotton nightgown caught fire and up it went. And
yeah, we were just watching cartoons as a kid. We were just up early, whatever morning, watching cartoons.
Yeah, do you remember that?
No, I just know, no, I don't really remember it, no, but I just know, like, you know, parents are probably sleeping or having coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's early and we're just watching shows.
She said that if my mom and dad and Andy and her mom and dad hadn't have been there, the place would have burnt down because the carpet caught fire.
Oh, yeah.
And she had no idea. All she was worried about was putting these flames out on her and patting her out to get all the flames out. So anyway, my dad and Andy put the fire out. So, and then time went on, just that she was in the hospital, and it turned out it was a tragic thing what happened. And then after that, you know, she was a good kid. She was not hard to get along with. She accepted pain and everything else. And so she was in Saskatoon one time. We come back, and she was an older girl. She was probably about
teenager
or something.
Yeah.
And she called out one day and to us, and she says, what are you guys doing on Saturday? And we said, oh, nothing that we know of. She said, well, could you come in? She said, I'm in Miss Teen Canada pageant for Saskatoon.
Right, yeah.
And we said,
no, not Miss Teen. It was Miss Saskatoon.
Miss Saskatoon, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we says, really? So she said, yeah, come on in and see me in the big gown, dress gown and all this, and parading up and down with like a model, you know. We went in and she did really good. She actually won that with the big long dress on. She was quite attractive, long girl. She's tall and slim, and she looked good. Next thing she had on the list was she was doing the bathing suit contest.
Yeah.
And then her other boy, her twin brother, Paul, he was here.
Yeah.
And you were probably also there, I'm sure you were, because you weren't very old. And Deanna says to her, what are you going to do about this contest with the bathing suit? She said, I guess I'll have to wear a bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
So she did. And she came in second to this other older girl. She was about 24 years old. And so she won, but she was a perfect specimen for a model.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what she did after that, was she was a model. They went down to, I think, Toronto or New York. I think New York, where her and Deanna went down, and she was, because she was a model.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
yeah,
this, but she's okay now. She's living a good life now. She seems happy, and I don't think she has any complaints. If she does, she doesn't pass them on anyway, so.
No, she definitely handled it good. I totally, when I grew up, I didn't even know. I wasn't even aware of it. She just...
Yeah.
She was one of the first troopers where something, you know, life-changing happened to somebody. She just ignored it and went on.
Yeah, no, she's a tough girl, I'll tell you. She comes from the old school, I think, so.
Do you remember the doctor?
No, I don't, you know, in the burn hospital.
Dr. Carroll?
Well, he did her surgery, yeah. That's right.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dr. Carroll did her burn surgery. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Yeah, he became a family friend forever.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I remember going and seeing him... Oh, like 20 years after it happened, we'd go to their place, and he'd take us. We'd have supper at his house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. he was always concerned about how she was and how she was acting and everything else. And no, we had good reports all the time to him. And yeah, I forgot that Dr. Carroll was a doctor. You got a better memory than I do. So you should tell these stories, not me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So no, it was pretty interesting how he. You know, he totally remembered her and the whole family and everything, and kind of just kept in touch. Maybe that's normal for them. I don't know.
No, he was a nice man, and my wife, she sure liked him. And we used to go out for dinner with him quite often after we got back with you guys. And he'd always pay his way, and he'd always say, "We go Dutch, right?" I said, "Yeah, that's perfect. Go Dutch. That's perfect." Yeah. So we'd always go Dutch. He'd have it all made out in his head how much it was. And
the doctor did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably the only guy making more money than you back then.
Yeah, so no, that was interesting, that whole story, and it was just a bad thing that happened, but what do you know, that's just part of life, I guess. The good thing our parents were there, because I know when Paula screamed in the morning when she was being burnt, Deanna come running out of the bedroom and tended to her, and nightgown was made of cotton, like I said, and it was just really caught fire, and it just took right off. And
yeah.
So, but if, you know, if the house had a burnt down, everybody would have been dead, I'm sure, because it was...
Yeah.
It was a bad scene. I mean, my mom, she was in bed, and Dad was, he was probably still, they were all still in bed. I know they were, so.
Have you ever seen how fast things can get going in a house? It's unbelievable.
Oh, those old houses in Arizona are all,
once carpet and couches start to burn, it's fast.
Yeah, and that old wood is so old in those houses, and it's all so dry from all the heat.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, so yeah.
People think sometimes they have time. When things get going, it's not.
Yeah, so it was a bad scene. But I remember when my dad used to come to the practices, he would come down there and where maybe the pregame skate in the morning, and he'd come down, be in the dressing room talking to all the guys, and everybody would just treat him so good being there because they knew he's my dad and everything else. And he looked like a real old farmer because he had that look of the tan on his head. He wore the hat all the time, and the head was white, and all the rest was... The V in his chest was always dark brown.
Yeah.
And hands and he got treated well there, and it was a good scene. Quite a thing that happened, but that's part of life, I guess. So
I know the hospital did an amazing job; like they really took care of her.
It's a good burn unit there. Like, mm-hmm. It's one of the top burn units in the states from in that area. So it was they treated her good and got these Job stockings and put on her, and she had to wear those all the time. And that stopped her from scratching when the itchiness would come in. She'd just scratch over top on the Job sock. One of those things that happens.
Yeah. So how did that affect you as a player?
Well, put those things to a side and just keep playing your same game. But there's many times out in that ice, when you would be thinking, you're trying to think about the game, and all of a sudden you'd get a flash in your mind about your daughter being burnt, and but you got to let it pass pretty quick, because you just can't be thinking about that when you're playing a game, because your totally concentration is what you got to do. And so it probably wasn't good for my career, but you know what, it just only lasted for a short time.
I mean, because you only played 1 year after that, didn't you? Did that have any impact on you, like, you know what, you're getting older, there's things going on, kids are getting older, you've kind of had some life-changing things that have happened. Did it have any impact, you think? Or
I retired at 33, which is young for a goalie, for sure.
Yeah.
And I was really wanting to quit at 32, because of you. You were starting school.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to grade one down in Phoenix. I think it was grade
kindergarten,
one.
Kindergarten,
yeah. Yep. And we didn't want that too bad. We wanted you to be home and go to school at home here with all your buddies. And you know, down there you didn't know anybody in school, and there's a lot of bullying in school and stuff like that. Just in those big cities, it's a different atmosphere altogether. So, and then when that happened, but I can remember the night I retired. I remember we played a game. I don't know who we're playing, but somebody. And we got beat out by somebody in Phoenix anyway. And probably Houston Arrows, I'm sure it was. I think it was. And we went to the restaurant after to have a few drinks, and I was sitting there, and I said to the boys, I raised my cup up, and I said, "Well, Diaborgia boys," I said, "this is the end of my career." And they said, "What do you mean the end of your career?" I said, "Well, I'm retiring." They said, "You can't retire. You played way too good. You're in your prime. You can't quit." And I says, "Yes, I can." My family comes first, and that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it for my family, and my wife agrees. She wants to quit. So when I did retire and we come back to the farm, the next year, you're always looking for that pretty good money you made. Like I was making 70, I would have made 75 grand that year.
Yeah, US,
And then 50 years ago, that's pretty good money.
What did you, maybe we won't tell what you made your first contract. We'll tell them later what you made on your first contract.
Okay, yeah.
But your last one was around 75, that's right.
So anyway, it just turned out that you missed the money. You're waiting for checks to come in all winter when you're here. So what you had to do was you had to sell some grain. The crop. If you had no crop, then you had nothing. So you go through tough times sometimes. But
yeah,
I missed the paychecks.
Oh, for sure.
Talking to a guy about that just yesterday,
yeah.
But you gotta make that adjustment, and you gotta. Only one person can do it, and that's you.
Yeah. So you made 75 that year. What did Bobby Hull make that year?
A million. That's what I always said when I was playing hockey. And Bobby and I were pretty good friends after he hit me that time. And I think we told that story. And so I said, I was interviewed one time in Winnipeg by somebody. And they said, well, what do you think about Bobby Hull making $1 million? And I says, well, I'll put it this way. He said, at the time I was making 60. And I says, I'm making $60,000 and he's making $1 million and they pay me $60,000 to stop him. I says, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And everybody thought, that's pretty difficult when you put it in that respect, in that matter. But
yeah,
that's just the way things go. I mean, he was a money guy, but you know what? Every team in the league had to pay $100,000 when Hull come over.
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't just Winnipeg paid the straight up. No.
Because every time he'd come into Edmonton, the place was jammed full.
Yeah.
I mean, every ticket was sold.
Yeah.
So he was a big draw. And same with Gordie Howe. I mean, he was a big draw also.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember it being about Gordie who paid for that, but they all chipped in to pay. I don't know if it's $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever it was.
Whatever
it
was,
but they all had to pay towards it all, so.
Well, all I see is Bobby Hull probably still has all that money in the bank account, eh?
You think so, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So that was a pretty interesting story there about discussing how what it's like, or I guess the situation that we went through there in Phoenix in 1974, 75.
Yeah,
74, 75.
Yeah.
Like you say, it was kind of one of those things that impacted, but it could have been a lot worse too. And
yeah,
it was a good thing the grandparents were there. And
yeah, I did mention one thing is when she was at home here and she went for Miss Saskatoon, when she ran for that, she didn't win. Her twin brother was there, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And he cried because she didn't win. He said, you should have won. He said, that other girl doesn't deserve to be there.
Did he?
He cried.
He'll love to hear that.
He broke right down and cried. So,
that's funny.
It was good.
She got second.
Yeah, she did so. Yeah,
she did second. Well.
And yeah, it was good. And then she'd become a model after that.
Yeah, she played, I think she played the organ as her talent in there.
Oh, yeah.
It was always her goal. Her goal was always to play the organ at her senior games there, you know, when they go, dun, 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 dun. She'd always do that for us in the house.
Oh, yeah.
When we were playing like mini sticks or something like that, she'd play the organ for us.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
When she was young, that wanted to be her goal. She wanted to be the organist at the games. To do that, so
yeah,
that would have been pretty funny.
I guess I can consider myself pretty lucky. I got three good kids now and good wife, and I think's good.
That's right, damn right you do. So so anyways, next week we could do one of two stories. We could do the Edmonton story when you got traded out of Edmonton and then told Sandy that, you know, when you went to Phoenix that you wanted to play against Edmonton all the time after that.
Yeah.
And we can talk about, you know, that story. Or we could talk about the Estevan story, which we've been alluding to for a little bit. Which one do you want to do next week?
Let's do the Bill Hunter story.
The Bill Hunter story. Yeah, I like the Bill Hunter story.
Yeah.
And all of you people out there that thought Bill Hunter was bringing you the NHL?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
But let's talk about that,
too. Yeah, we'll talk about that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
We knew it was going on there.
Bill Hunter loves spending your money.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, Kate, that was awesome. Well, good story there, Jackson. And we will talk to you next week.
Good. Thank you. See you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, that ends episode 14 of Jack Unmasked, where we learn that most likely the toughest person in the Norris family isn't a guy, but my sister, Paula. And we would just like to thank you for everything that you've done and been for our family. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of the next podcast. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
We had a fire in the house last night. Paula got burnt. She was in the hospital for 9 weeks, called out one day and to us, and she says, what are you guys doing on Saturday? And said, I'm in Miss the Pageant for Saskatoon. She won that with the big long dress on. She was, you know, like a model, you know.
Her goal was always to play the organ at her senior games, playing like mini sticks or something like that. She'd play the organ for us.
Three good kids now and good wife, and everything's good.
That's right. Damn right you do.